So good to be here this morning on Father's Day. We've already said it a few times, but happy Father's Day to all you men who are fathers, all you who are planning on being fathers. God has a desire in his heart to share the depths of his heart of fatherhood with the world, and his chosen vessel for that are godly men who are surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad to be in a church that's full of men just like that, where I've received so much from God myself with the men in this church who have sown into me. And you know what? It is such a blessing to get to talk about this topic today. The title of my message today is The Heart of Fatherhood. You know, today, some of you may not know this, today marks the 31st anniversary of the starting of our church. We're 31 years old today. Isn't that cool? One of the things I love most about our church is from the very beginning, Harvest Christian Fellowship, the people who started our church had a deep and genuine desire to express the heart of Father God to the world. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for those who have gone before us. I'm so grateful that God gave a vision and they said yes. And a big part of that vision coming to pass was expressing Father's heart to common people right out here in West Texas, people just like you and me. And many men and many women have sacrificed so much to build what we so conveniently enjoy today. So really comfortably enjoy today. What a beautiful facility we have. But even more beautiful than the natural facility we have, the fellowship that we have together in the spirit and in the sense of security that Father's heart brings to a group of people, I just want to say to you, I am grateful to be a part of a church like this, and I hope you can be grateful with me. This kind of church is rare. And you say, well, that's what you're supposed to say. Well, I believe it. If you were to ask me today, or ask any of us who are in leadership at our church, what's your church all about? Without hesitation, the answer would be this. It's about Father's heart being expressed to the world. It's about sharing Jesus Christ with the world. Jesus was the perfect pattern son of the Father. And so for all of us, our great example of how to be a follower of the Father heart of God is Jesus Christ. And so our church wants to express God to you. You realize that mankind was separated from Father God, and Jesus came to remedy the problem. Sin separated, but Jesus took our sin upon him on the cross when he died, and he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." And a big part of what was finished that day was this, the separation, the chasm between Father and the children was taken away, and we were reunited with Father God in heaven. Here's the big idea for the day. Father God wants you to have a great life with great outcomes. Any true father has that same desire for his own children. You want them to have a great life that's full of blessing. You want them to be provided for, protected, loved, and given every opportunity they can to succeed in this life. And that comes directly from heaven. That is what Father God wants for every one of us. Our earthly fathers are meant to be a reflection of the heart of God to the world. When you say that, I realize this. Fatherlessness, or the absence of fathers, is epidemic in our world. Did you realize that approximately 40% of the children born in the United States of America today will be born into a fatherless home? Sadly, many people who even had a father did not have a good experience with him. To bring up the word father is not always a happy thought for everybody. Therefore, many people want to have nothing to do with God, even though God calls himself Father, and he is the perfect Father. I want you to clue in right here with me. No matter how good or bad your father is, naturally on the earth, He's not the perfect father, but he should direct you to the one who is. Now leave that up there for a minute and think with me, all you fathers in the room, or all you who potentially want to be a father someday, this is your biggest job. Direct your family to the perfect father. You're not gonna be perfect, but you can direct them to the one who is. Whoo, that gives me comfort and hope, because I can't get it right every time. But I know one who does. He's always perfectly loving, forgiving, accepting. He always provides. He always protects. He never has a bad day. Father God, who is on our side, who loves us, who has a plan for our lives. Psalm 139 says literally, he's even planned out every step of your life if you will submit to his plan. That's a good father. He's made a way for you and me to have a great life. See, we've got to let go of whatever good or bad experience we had with Dad on earth. We really need to let that go. Today's the day to celebrate the 80-20 rule on Dad. It might be 50-50 on some dads. It might be 40-60, but find the good stuff and say thank you. If you had a dad, if he provided for you, at least pick up the phone and say, thank you for letting me be a part of your life. You didn't do it all right, but I don't do it all right either. I just want to say thank you. You know, gratitude can change your outcomes. Gratitude can change your destiny. Find something to be thankful today about your father. And if you didn't have one, thank Father God that he never left you or forsaken you. He's always been with you from the very beginning until now. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says this, for though you might have 10,000 instructors or tutors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. It's very unique to find someone who really has taken on the father heart of God and lives that out in this life. I tell you this, if you find one, hang out with them. Because they are somebody who has gone beyond selfishness and found out how to live sacrificially for the benefit of those around them. If you find somebody like that, hang out with them a lot and let them rub off on you. Because they've gotten in touch with Father God, and now they're trying to share that Father's heart with you. I would also say it's very unique to find a church that expresses father heart. Do you realize we live in a culture who would love to be gender neutral, and I don't understand why? It's really nonsensical. Doesn't make any sense. God made us. The word of God is true. Male and female, he created them. We are equally valuable, but we have different roles to play in this life. And if we can learn to accept and appreciate the different roles that God has given us, we can live a peaceful existence full of blessing. But if we spend our whole life fighting against who God made us to be in the first place, you will be angry, frustrated, and discontent. What I love about our church, and I don't get up here and brag a lot, but I'm bragging on you, so you probably like it. Our church is very attractive to men. Did you realize statistically, you can look around the room, it plays out right here this morning, there's about 50% men in the room. Go to any other church in America and I challenge you to find that ratio. It is very, very, very rare to have 50% men and 50% women. It's usually about 80% women and 20% men. You know why men love our church? Because we make a place for them. We encourage them to be who they are. We give them books like Wild at Heart and say, you're supposed to be adventurous. You're supposed to live on the edge. You're supposed to protect women and children. You're supposed to be a leader in this life. And don't apologize for being a man of God. Now, I understand many people have taken God's design and distorted it. They've used their position as father, they've used their position as man, and they've abused people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a loving father who cares for the people around them, just like the Father in heaven, and makes provision for men, women, children, and everybody around them. They're not thinking about themselves, they're thinking about others first. If you find a man like that, you ought to hang out with him because they are rare. Scripture speaks to the power of fatherhood. It says in Malachi 4, verse 5, says, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord." Press pause right there. I believe this has already happened because John the Baptist was Elijah who was supposed to come again, and he came through John the Baptist, and he prepared the way for the Lord. And so the great and terrible day of the Lord has already taken place. It was the terrible day for Satan. When Jesus died on the cross and defeated death and defeated sin and took away the power of hell and darkness and he brought light into the world. What a great and terrible day for our enemy when Father sent his Son into the world. Verse 6 says, after that takes place, he, God, Father, will restore the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. To this very day, the enemy would love nothing more than to drive a wedge between fathers and their children. And I'll tell you today, if you're going to be a man of God and be a father, you're going to have to learn how to fight the enemy and darkness. I'm not talking about being weird and goofy about there's a demon behind every bush. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being aggressive about seeking God. I'm talking about being purposeful about loving your wife and your children. I'm talking about making plans to pass on your faith, not by force, but by love. True fathers serve their families. They don't demand respect from them. They earn respect from them. So don't you love the fact that God's all into this fatherhood thing? I mean, if you're a dad today, I mean, you if it's your first time here, you've been looking for a church that would find you a place to serve and be, you found your home, man. Because this is a man-sized church. And that says nothing negative to women. See, if men are given room to express their God-given destiny as fathers, they will be men who make room for women and children every time. And people will feel safe and loved and accepted. It's just like in the marriage paradigm. If you have a man who looks and acts like Jesus, there's not a woman on this world who would not love to submit to that man. Men are supposed to be in headship. Men are supposed to lead. Men are supposed to be strong. They're supposed to have those qualities under the guidance and lordship of Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you find a man like that, you ought to hang out with them because they're rare. Thank God for the fathers in my life. My earthly father was a man of God, and he taught me to be one, and I'm so grateful for that. I've had other fathers in business, in ministry, and in life, learning how to parent my children. I've had lots of fatherly voices. Listen, you're not looking for somebody to be your daddy if you're a grown man. You're just looking for someone and a group of someones who express and speak father's heart into your heart. People get this all wacko. I mean, once you're a grown-up, you don't need a daddy because you're grown. What you need is the Father's heart, and that heart comes through the community of faith, and if you'll listen when you hear it, you should go toward it. That's why I'd love for every man in this room and every man in this city to come to Bravehearts every Tuesday morning at 6:30 right here in this room. And by the way, breakfast is on us this week. I'd love for them to be here because it gives opportunity for God to express his voice into every man in this community. See, I don't have just one person in my life anymore that's like a father figure to me. I have a community, a brotherhood, and I hear Father's voice in the brotherhood because we're all connected to the Father. See, because if you get weird about it, you go, well, that person's my spiritual father, and then you expect them to buy you a Christmas gift or something. And it gets all weird. No, that's my dad's job if he wants to. But I'm a grown-up. I don't need Christmas gifts anymore. I'm busy buying them for my kids. You see what I'm saying? I've seen people get this out of whack when you try to take a spiritual concept and make it natural. No, if you're a grown-up today, you don't need a daddy. You don't need a mama. You need a connection with God. And you get that through the community of faith. Lest I go on and rant about those things, I'll just stick back to my notes. Here's the deal. Father God wants you to have a great life with great outcomes. What does Father's heart look like? Let's list a few things. He's good to his children. He's loving and accepting and welcoming. Concerned for the welfare of all children, but especially his, provides opportunities for children to succeed. He's forgiving, restoring, redemptive. Hey, can we go back to that other slide for a second? If you're an aspiring father today, pull out your phone, take a picture of this. You need to know these characteristics so you can be working toward them. Now we can go to the next slide. And it says fathers are forgiving and restoring and redemptive. As this one fills up, take a picture of it too. Put it on your mirror and say, God, I want to be these things. Would you download your heart into me so I could be an expression of you to the world? Fathers give direction. They show the path. They bring discipline, instruction, and training. Fathers warn of danger. Love is in the warning. Some people say, Don't correct me. Don't warn me. Well, run out in front of that 18-wheeler and get smashed. Walk off that cliff and die. Warning, you're about to destroy your life. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. Fine, you don't. But what if you let somebody give you some advice? Like good advice. Like we're no different as grown-ups as we were as toddlers. Somebody that God has given a voice into your life can see things that you don't see. Like that little toddler that's about to run out in the street to get that ball, and mom and dad see a car come and say, stop! Are they hating on that child? No, they're saving their life by screaming at the top of their lungs, little Johnny, don't go out in the street! That's love. Love is in the warning. I just wonder if any of us in here today let anybody speak truth into our lives. Did you know in the world we live in, everybody says we're more connected than ever because of social media and the internet and all this? But here's what I say. We're more disconnected and isolated than ever. You can live a virtual relationship with people online. You can scroll through Facebook or Instagram or whatever your favorite social media platform is and feel connected to people because you see images or videos of what's going on in their life when the reality is you're sitting in your bed with your PJs on with no makeup or hair product. And you ain't living life. You're living vicariously through some little device. That's not real. It's called virtual reality. Oh, you got men who go on their little device and find pornographic images to fulfill their sexual desires. That's not real. It's fantasy. And it destroys reality. It destroys the fiber of a good relationship with your natural wife. Those are all warnings. I love you. Don't live a virtual life. Live a real life with real people. I like to say, Father comes to me a lot of times in gray-headed mustaches and beards. And says, hey, dude, you ought to straighten up. You realize if you keep talking that way to your son, you're going to drive him away from you and not drive, pull him into you. Well, that's not what I want to do. Thank you for that. It's no different than Kid City. If adults, men, if we could say to others, thank you for correcting me, I'll do better next time. If you don't know, that's what we train our kids in Kid City when they get a verbal warning. We say, here's the appropriate response. Say, thank you for correcting me. I'll do better next time. Hey, man, big, burly, macho, hairy-faced man, what if you had that attitude toward the body of Christ when someone spoke truth to you, said, oh, thank you, instead of, who are you to tell me anything? I know none of y'all react that way. I'm just talking about people out there. Here's what fathers do. Fathers raise up mature sons and daughters. If you're a real father today, you want your kids to grow up and make responsible choices for themselves. You want them to grow up and get a relationship with God for themselves. And so to do that, to help them get there, you employ what the Bible calls discipline. A lot of people, even in the church, think the word discipline is a curse word. But it's not. Listen to Hebrews 12, verse 5. My son, this is like Father God speaking to us. Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. What is discipline? It's redirecting. It's helping you make great choices. It's putting responsibility into action. Nor faint when you are reproved. What's reproved mean? Corrected by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. I had a situation in my life a few years ago where there were two or three of us kind of in the same season of life. And we were all working for a certain person, and I always seemed to be the one who got corrected. I didn't like it. It hurt my feelings. It's like everything I did that was remotely out of line, I got rebuked for it. And I'm like, why aren't they correcting these other guys? What's up with that? And then the Lord reminded me of this verse. I go, oh, I'm just more loved than anybody else on the team. So I get more correction. Hey, when I heard that, it made me happy for half a second. And then I had to lean into this truth and say, I'd rather be disciplined and reproved than ignored. Oh, but we like being ignored because we like to isolate and build this virtual life and pretend life around us that says, we're fine. You know what? None of us are fine. We've all got stuff that could stumble us and rob our faith and ruin our lives if we don't get the light shining on it. There's none of us immune to this. Nobody's arrived. Everybody needs discipline. Everybody needs to be reproved. And if we could drop the facade and say, yes, you're right. I don't have it all together. Thank you. I would like someone to speak into my life. If you're a man looking for that, come to Bravehearts on Tuesday morning. Where am I? Verse 10. He, God, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. What does holiness mean? Holy means set apart for a purpose. God wants us to be set apart, picked literally the cream of the crop, picked from all the people to be set with God to do his purposes. What a great invitation. But only discipline brings you to the place of holiness. Verse 11, I won't keep preaching that. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. How many of you ever tried to discipline your kids? Came to kingdom families and you learned that you need to bring order and discipline into your home. How many of your kids just love that family meeting? He said, hey kids, we had this seminar at church. It's called Kingdom Families. I realized I've been messing this all up. I've been giving you way too many chances. I need to bring discipline and order into your life. There's going to be consequences for your bad behavior from now on. Oh, thank you, Dad. No, you're like, who is this Miles Sweeney? And how can I whoop him? He's ruining my life. I remember Levi Tucker Brown, he wrote in the bulletin today. I remember he came to Kingdom Families as an adult, and he goes, that's why my parents acted that way. Miles told him to do that. Yeah, because Miles is a father. And he's connected with Father God, and he helps teach us how to bring Father's heart into our homes. But it's not joyful, but sorrowful. Yet those who have been trained by it, what discipline afterward yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. I'm going to brag on my kids for a minute. I try not to do that very often. I am so proud of my children. This is what I tell parents all the time. They see my kids, they brag on them, they tell me good things. I say, do the hard work from 0 to 5. Do the hard work then. And it makes the teenage years a lot easier. It's not perfect. My kids aren't perfect. But a lot of people tell me they like being around them. And I think, thank God. Do you know what my kids began to do? And all kids do this. It's across the board. They don't like it when you tell them you're going to change the plan and bring discipline into the home. But you will sit down and have a discipline session with them. And when it's done, they'll crawl up in your lap and hug you and say, thank you, I love you, Dad. And you're going, this doesn't make sense. I just spanked your bottom. And I know that hurt. But they know they need it. It's not pleasant, but it brings in the end a harvest of righteousness and peace. People walk into our home and they say, it's so peaceful here. And I don't realize it. I don't, because I just live there. Because we've established patterns of behavior and the way we relate. And they go, man, this is so peaceful. And I didn't realize what they were talking about so much until I went to Gabe's house the other day. No, you misunderstand. And walking into a different house, I went, wow, it feels peaceful here. And because I'm so used to my own, and I realized Gabe's a father who brings leadership and discipline into his home. He leads with love and concern, but he's not afraid to tackle the hard issues. And because all that work is done in private, when a guest walks in, you feel the presence of God in the home. Don't you want your home to be like that? You're going, man, that's a tall order. No, if a goof-off like me can have that, so can you. We're not special. We don't have any special privileges or connection with God. We're all equal in the sight of God, and we all have the same opportunity to connect with Father. Okay, I'm going to move on and get finished. Discipline is necessary training for a productive life. You know that. You can't just show up to work when you want to. You got to be consistent, right? Everybody knows that if you have a job and you've kept it. A father who loves his children will bring order and discipline into their life. Here's the big one. Discipline leads you to your, say it with me, destiny. Say it again. Discipline leads you to your destiny. If you choose to embrace discipline, good habits, right choices, if you get on a path, it's not going to happen instantly. But what if you got a goal? A year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, what could my life look like? What could my marriage look like? What could my family look like? What could my ministry look like? You're going to have to embrace the discipline of the Father. You're going to have to choose to seek God every day. You're going to have to choose to put some things aside and embrace the disciplines of walking with God. Because see, Father God wants you to have great life with great outcomes. But you have to embrace discipline to get there. True fathers raise up mature sons and daughters. Why do they need to be mature? Because you cannot receive your inheritance until you're mature. In the natural, in the kingdom, in the spirit, all these things. You cannot receive your inheritance until you are mature. You know what God will do? He'll use anybody that's available to express Father's heart to lead you. I hear father's heart through my wife all the time. This is not really a masculinity thing when you say, if you're in touch with father, you can speak father's voice. Now, obviously, men are supposed to have that naturally and spiritually. But anybody who has a relationship with the Father can speak the Father's heart and help raise up a generation who could change the world. Monday night at youth camp, I got to speak to the high school kids, and God put this on my heart so strong. And again on Thursday night when I got to speak to all the kids, you can change the world. But you're not going to change the world acting the way you did before you came to camp. You're going to have to embrace what you've learned here and take it home with you. It's not much different for us, is it? You could change the world if you'd embrace what you hear every Sunday morning, if you embrace what the Word's leading you to. You don't need me to teach you. The Bible's clear. You don't have need of a teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach you. You really just need to come here and let's have a pep rally on Sunday and get fired up about what the Lord's been teaching us and then go share it with the world. You don't really need me to teach you the Word. I just am here to inspire you and get you fired up about doing it again next week. Because I'm not your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. And you can learn and grow and be disciplined by Him every moment of your life. Father God wants you to have a great life with great outcomes. Fathers, raise up mature sons and daughters. We've made a choice at Harvest Christian Fellowship to be that kind of church. If you're a man in the room, a father here today, and you want to get on the right path, you want to get on a good path to being a father, be the father, the man that God's called you to be, I want to issue a special invitation to you. Please come to Brave Hearts. That's what it's designed for. This Tuesday morning, come eat breakfast with us. I hope you all come and we run out of food. It would be awesome. If we run out, I'll take you to McDonald's. So here's the question. I'll do it, I promise. Whoever's in charge of the food, order extra. Okay. Just kidding. I will take you and feed you. All right. Here's the last question, and we're going to be done. How can you express Father's heart to your world? I know most of this message has been directed at men, but this is for all of us. This is for everybody in the room. How can you express Father's heart to the world? Will you stand with me? God wants each of us to be restored to the goodness of His heart. He is the perfect Father. So wherever you are today, maybe you had a great dad and you're loving Father's Day and you can't wait to spend time with your father. Maybe some of you it's painful and you don't like this holiday very much. Wherever you are, it's not about people. It's about our Father in heaven. And I want you to know He loves you. I want you to know He wants to connect deeply with you. He wants to lead you to a great life with great outcomes. I want to invite our prayer team to come right now and just say this to you today. Wherever you are emotionally when it comes to the word dad, some of you might need healing, and these guys and gals up here, they want to help you find that healing. Because until you can resolve the wounds of the past, you can't really step into the destiny of your future. God wants to bring healing there. Some of you may just be going, I want this. I want to be the man God's called me to be. I want to, as a woman, I want to express Father's heart to the world. Just come up here and let the Spirit empower you through the prayers of these saints right up here. And let God just get on you real good before you leave today. And for every man in this room, whether you ever have natural children or not, you are a father. And you are called to be a father figure to the world around you. Whether it's two people or 2,000 people, it doesn't matter. God has called you to be an expression, a special calling for you to express Father's heart. And I want to say a special blessing over you fathers today. Will you bow your head and pray with me? God, in Jesus' name, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come upon us. For every man in this room, young and old alike, I just feel the Lord saying, it doesn't matter how old you are, you've still got father work to do. It doesn't matter what you think has happened in the past or what relationships you feel. God says to you today, there's always hope when Father God is involved. So I release the power of the Holy Spirit upon every man in this room today and unashamedly call you to fatherhood and empower you through the Spirit of the living God to stand in the place where you live and express Father's love to the world around you. Now be blessed and receive this and walk out of here empowered in Jesus' name. And you guys know this, every Sunday we're here to pray for whatever needs you have. Whether the needs you have has anything to do with this message, we're here for you. Please come. We want to pray with you today. Otherwise, happy Father's Day. Go grill something.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.